Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Well, it's certainly a fun word to say, but what really is it? It's what we create when we come together with people. We have personal power. Do you know your power? Do you appreciate your power? All right, so let's think about this just in practical terms. When we come together, we unite. So we would think maybe we add to each other. Well, if that were numbers, let's say I'm a 3 and you're a 5, that makes us 8 when we come together. No, when we come together, we're more powerful. Maybe we multiply each other. 3 times 5 is 15. Well, no, actually, we amplify each other. 3 to the 5th power is 243. Do you believe that you empower people? You amplify people. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. So thinking about that, what kind of accountability do you believe you have when you come together with people? If you make them negative with your power and you amplify their strength with your negativity, what kind of destruction is that capable of creating and propelling? I was in a very unfortunate situation recently, and I went to, a very bad place. Long story short, I had a grand mal seizure in Phoenix on the sidewalk, and I cooked for about an hour and a half while I was waiting for emergency medical transport to bring me to somewhere that would help me. The skin, literally skin burning through I don't even want to say garbage, just the pavement and the objects that I was holding on to. Yeah, people were walking by. Well, someone ended up calling an emergency transport. They sent me over to a Valleywise hospital, and I couldn't believe how indifferent and impotent and incompetent and ignorant. You know what? There were people that just genuinely didn't know what to do with me, but a lot of them didn't care. You know what? That's not a get out of jail free card. If you are indifferent and you say, I don't care, that doesn't mean your energy is neutral. That's negative energy. As humans, we either have positive or negative energy. So ask yourself at any point throughout the day, is your power positive or negative? Is your influence on people constructive or destructive? Do you believe that you're accountable? Or the way that you treat people, the impact that you have on people, the influence that you have over people. When we're talking about absolute power, well, what does that mean? Well, think about what I just said about ignorance. Well, knowledge is power. If you know something, you have to do something with that information that you know. And there is no inertia in relationships. You're either moving together or you're moving apart. You're either moving forward or you're moving back. Everything that you do has a consequence. So when you take an inventory of your daily activities in life, what do they primarily consist of? Making the world a better place or tearing it down? The experiences that I had in another place called Camelback Rehab, they were horrible to me. In fact, the women that worked there were exponentially worse than the men. And that's what I'm going to be talking about in the show today. Feminine power. What we can do as women when we come together. We can be amazingly good or amazingly bad with, to, and for each other. And especially over men. I actually posed a question on LinkedIn this week. A survey question, because I wanted people to give me their honest opinions. Can a sick man do as much harm to a healthy woman as a sick woman can do to a healthy man? When women are toxic, they can do horrible things to a man, even if he's healthy, because of the influence, the power that we have, especially when we come together and we create synergy and we amplify each other. Yeah, a sick man can do some harm to a healthy woman, but if she's healthy and she's strong, she can absolutely stand up to him and say no. And you know what? Men who are toxic that way, they're abusive, they're horrible, they're evil. They only go look for horrible women. that they can victimize and abuse and torture. But that's not the majority of men in the world. Most men are good people. That's another thing I'm going to talk about in the show today. Feminism has convinced women that men are the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. We need to come together. Could you imagine if men and women came together and they cooperate? That means worked together. We amplified each other and we empowered each other to be healthy and constructive and productive. What could we accomplish in the world? I want people to call in and ask questions, even offer opinions, because I've just opened up Pandora's box. There are a lot of things that people are going to think and feel about what I say, because I'm going to say a lot of things, and not all of them are going to be good. Not all of them are going to be bad, but I promise people will have a reaction. So if you want to call into the station, the number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627 6008. Okay, now when you have the opportunity to help someone, here's the general question that I ask people. Do you want to help them? Are you a nice person? Now, we live in times where there is no trust. I say relationships are an art. As a relationship coach, I teach people ART, appreciation, respect, and trust. Most people don't trust people. They immediately assume the worst and they're defensive and suspicious. What do you think that does to your emotional energy, the quality of your energy? When you come together with people and you already have that mindset and that emotional attitude, people can pick up on it. They can feel it. Yeah, we know. Maybe we can't put our finger quite on exactly what it is, but we can feel when someone's in a bad mood. And I love to say this, one of my favorite lines in one of my favorite movies, a young man asks his older sister, how hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood? And her response was almost incredulous, like, gee, it's easy. What kind of a stupid question is that? If everybody could be in a good mood, wouldn't everybody be in a good mood? Well, actually, no. There are some people who genuinely enjoy being miserable. I'm in a new facility now called Circle the City. I was at Scottsdale Rehab to get over the wounds and get some rehabilitation. There genuinely are people who see happy people and they get angry. They are very unhappy when other people are happy. But yeah, I still like to think that the majority of people in the world would prefer to be happy, right? And they want to be in a good mood. They're just not quite sure how to do it. And especially when they're around people who don't trust, they don't appreciate, they don't respect people. What does it mean to appreciate people? It means to truly be grateful for them, to value what they have to offer, what they are, what they do. Yeah, it's important to have good things. It's important to do good things. It's more important to be good things. And when we stop and look at the people around us, we take a little inventory of who is around us and we say, wow, this person has an amazing gift or talent or strength or ability. I'm going to appreciate that. And I'm going to trust them as a person that their intentions are good. And that if I say to them, I want and I need what you are, you will make the quality of my life better. When we come together, our synergy will make me more powerful. That will make me more successful. That will make the world a better place. If you and I, as good quality people, work together to make the world a better place, everyone around us will be affected. They will be impacted by our positive energy, and that will make them want to be better people. It will make them better people in the way that they treat others, in the mindset that they have when they are doing things with others. Is that worth it? Is it worth your time and your attention and your energy to become a better person, even if it's just to get in a good mood? To have positive energy when you're around the people that need you. They just want you. Yeah, people do want you. Unfortunately, like I said, the women in the facilities that I've been in for the last almost 3 weeks now, they've been very toxic because they know that they have the ability and the power and the opportunity to help people who are genuinely in need. It might be a physical need. They might need physical care and attention. I think I had four different nurses in Scottsdale rehab for, I think I was there for about 11 days. And only one of them was a genuinely good nurse. She was my wound nurse. She changed my bandages. She cleaned my wounds. And I even said to her, why are the women here so toxic? They're mean. They're angry. They're hurtful. And she said, because they're just miserable people. And everybody here likes to be miserable. I said, but you know what? The actual physical therapists, which is in the same building, but in another part, kind of in the center, they're all really nice people. And she said, if you'll notice, there's a door, an invisible door. It's like a wall, and they keep it closed all day long. And I said, you're right. Yeah, the good people in there, they stick together. And the bad people out here, they feed off of each other's negativity. I'm going to go ahead and give you the number again. If you want to call in, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to delve more deeply into feminine power, what we create as women when we come together. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. My name is Gabrielle Cardona, and I'm a relationship coach. Synergy, what we create when we come together. You know, I started out almost 20 years ago as a life coach, and there were a lot of life coaches at the time. It was a very popular field, right? Very cachet to be a life coach. Well, do you know what? That could be anything. A life coach could be a multi-level marketing salesman who's selling organic products to lose weight. It could be someone who teaches transcendental meditation as a spiritual leader, as a spiritual guide. Well, you know what? I decided I wanted my life coaching to be teaching people how to score in the game of life, how to succeed with people when you come together with them, stop fighting with people, have more effective communication, prevent problems. It's nice to solve problems, but it's even better to prevent them in the first place. So then I also taught people about their personality profile and how when you are with someone who is of a different personality, they have a totally different disposition, you can still be successful in the way that you connect with them. You can still have good communication. And even if you can't prevent every single problem, because that's just not realistic for humans, you can solve the problems by knowing how to approach the issue. Different issues with people in different ways for different reasons. When you have an understanding and an insight, you're more likely to be willing to work together because we do genuinely want to work together. But now let's think about something that I'm very opinionated about and I'm very passionate about, and that's politics, especially the feminism movement. When we had feminism going on, it was a very benevolent cause. It was a very honorable purpose. We wanted to have women with dignity and respect and equality. Yeah, we should be able to get the same amount of money for doing the same quality of work. We should get the same social consideration. Absolutely. I agree with that, and I believe that with all my heart. But unfortunately, I think probably starting with the baby boomer generation, which was my mother's generation, women became more politically aggressive. And then we had a lot of social media. We had television, we had radio. The way that we communicated with each other became more and more through those venues. And so as we were getting more connected to each other and more entertained, a lot of the information that we got was not helpful. It was not healthy. It was actually harmful and destructive because it cut off our communication with each other. We were not speaking directly to each other. We were looking at a media source. Excuse me. And that media source wasn't giving us the whole picture, and it had another agenda. Look, politics is about power, but media is about money. We know that when we're getting together and we want to get something done, again, we have more power. But are we wanting more influence socially? Are we just wanting more money for some selfish purpose? Or do we want to cooperate? Do we want to work together to create something of higher quality? And again, that's another theme I talk about a lot, quality over quantity. Would you rather have 2 ounces of gold or 2 tons of fertilizer? Yeah, well, what in life is high quality? What in relationships is high quality? Well, the appreciation, the respect, and the trust that has gone away with politics. We genuinely don't want to think good things about people. We enjoy fighting now. Contention, that's division. Ah, here we go. Divide and conquer. So when we're talking about what do we want to create with people, do we want to unite or divide? What's your actual intention? What's your motivation? Do you have good intentions when you get together with people? Do you intend to unite them with the interaction that you have with them? There's a really great joke that I always love to quote. It's kind of a long one, but it really does illustrate the principles of the political movement, and that is just fight, 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 fight for no good reason, over everything, for nothing. It's called the computer's gender. The Spanish teacher was explaining that in Spanish, words are feminine or masculine. So instead of just saying the, you have to say el or la. All right. So it was an adult class, and a man raised his hand and he said, "Is it el computador or la computadora?" And she just kind of smiled and said, "Well, do you think it's more like a man or a woman?" And he said, "Never mind, I retract the question. I don't want to get in trouble." And she said, "No, we're going to have a game here. We're going to have some fun. Men over here, women over there. Talk it out and tell me if you think this beautiful machine here is a guy or a gal." And so they said, "All right, we're going to go ahead and get out pen and paper." The men pulled out pen and paper and started whispering and laughing. And she said, "Oh, what are you doing? What are you writing down?" And they said, "Man, this thing's so female, practically has breasts." And she said, "Why don't you read your list to me? We can stop right there." And they said, "Yeah, we got 4 reasons why this thing is a woman. Number one, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they can interpret. Number three, they store every mistake make in long-term memory for future retrieval. And number four, you spend half your paycheck on their accessories." And she said, "Wow, that's kind of scary. That's kind of good." "Lady, save me. I'm drowning here." And they said, No, this thing's a guy. We'll tell you why. We got 4 reasons too. Number one, they don't do anything for you until you turn them on. Number two, you can give them information all day long. They're still not going to think for themselves. Number three, they claim to be able to solve any problem you give them, but you know what? In real life, they're usually the problem. And most importantly, number four, you know, if you had just waited 6 months, you could have had a better one. Now, that's fun to think about because a lot of us would nod our head. Yeah, that stuff's true. But it all comes back down to we just really like to complain, right? And we like to think the worst about each other because it's more entertaining to fight than to get along. And yeah, there are more songs and television shows and movies where people are fighting and arguing because it's, entertaining. If you have any questions or comments, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Now, what I'm going to be talking about is the bottom line between men and women. Women are men's weakest link. I'm sure you've heard the expression, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Now, I'm sitting here, actually, I had to go into the bathroom because Circle the City, where I'm staying right now, just for a few more days to finish up with my wound rehabilitation. The people, especially the women that are here, they are fighting with me and each other and the men nonstop. The only place I can actually get some privacy, some quiet, apparently, is the bathroom, which has a nice shower, by the way. They see that I want to do this show, and so they're going to the place that I thought I was going to go outside, and they're making extra noise. And now they're yelling to talk to each other, which they never did before. They genuinely just want to be contentious. Why do we do that? What purpose does that serve? It really doesn't. But again, when you are already in a bad mood, it's tough to get into a good mood until you find the reason why. You really do need to know yourself and you need to understand yourself. Men are very simple creatures. Women are their weakest link. That means that women have the ability, the capacity to do more harm to men, healthy men, happy men, than men ever have the ability to do to women. Yeah, if a woman is healthy, she's strong, she's confident, she's intelligent, she's fully capable. And yeah, when she's capable and she's confident, she's very powerful. Unfortunately, I was told by the women who raised me, baby boomers, a lot of feminist women, that women are the competition and men are the enemy. You're not going to be happy if you're barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, because if you're barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, that means that a man is dominating you and he's taking away your personal power. You need to make money. Okay, so let's just calm down. No, it's not about men being the enemy, and women are not the competition. We can actually work together. Men do want to help us and support us. It just devolved into something to where now men are genuinely afraid in the United States. Men are afraid of upsetting women because they'll be taken to court. They'll be called names. They will be verbally abused by women because, yeah, with our absolute freedom of speech, we have all of this freedom. We can use our freedom any way we want. How many women just want to fight for no good reason? Because they're angry. That's it. If we stop fighting with each other and we support and encourage each other, that is symbiotic. That's men and women working together. We don't have to go. And there's the toilet. Yes, I am in fact in the bathroom. Okay. One of my favorite scriptures, this is such a nice summary of it. It's better for a man to sleep alone on the corner of a roof than with a woman looking for a fight. Because you know what? When we fight, it's exhausting. And is there a good reason to fight for no good reason? What benefit will that provide to either party? And the people around us, when we're doing that, get nervous, they get anxious, they get overwhelmed. Men are very compromised by women who are volatile and they're aggressive. When they make fun of them, women who make fun of men and laugh at them, yeah. Men have feelings too, but feminism, feminist women like my mom and my aunts taught me that all men are pigs and all they wanted to stick their dick into something and abuse women and torture women. So you got to hurt them before they hurt you. What? That is pure garbage. Men don't want to subservient. Men don't see and see. There we go. And so there's one of the ladies that lives here and that I'm trying to get away from. She happened to hear what I had to say. Now she's trying to fight with me. And I promise you that when I get off the air today, oh yeah, she's going to continue to fight with me. The bottom line is when I get out of here, I have amazing men in my life. My producer is one of the amazing men in my life that I love and I trust very much. Men in my congregation, I respect them and I appreciate them and I trust them. Yeah, there are people that I've worked with over the years. I'm connected to them on LinkedIn. When I reach out to them and I say, hey, I need help with something, they know that my motivations, my intentions are good. And they immediately say, I'll help you. Okay, now, are all men inherently bad? I don't think so. One of the things that I want to ask people too is something that Americans love to perpetuate and they love to preach, is that all Middle Eastern men are abusive to women, that they can basically get away with physical abuse and they inhibit women from reaching their full potential because they just think that women are of a lower value. Women are not as valuable as men. I don't know that that's true because I've never actually been to the Middle East, but I have the distinct feeling that not all Arabic men beat women all the time. I would be surprised if they did. But if that's the case, and it's for a religious reason or for a political reason, then that's something we need to think about. Again, that's politics, and religion can very much be about politics. Let's look at the actual people, okay, and take away the religion and take away the politics. Are Arabic men inherently bad people? Are they born with hatred inside of themselves, believing that they can hurt, physically harm women all day, every day, for no reason other than to assert their masculinity? You know what? Again, I don't think so. I don't think Arabic men are bad people. Middle Eastern men. I don't think they're bad people. I think if you take them privately and say, hey, what do you think of women? I think most of them would say, I like women. I think women are pretty cool. I enjoy them. And they like to enjoy life and they like to enjoy women's happiness. Ladies, when we are happy, yeah, everyone is happy. The scripture that I like about not sleeping with a woman looking for a fight. My other favorite scripture is that a man, a husband, should be intoxicated with his woman's breast all day long. Yeah, when we come back, I'm going to talk about how great it is to be a woman with a fabulous body and our sexuality. That's our great power. The number to the station is 888 888 627-6008. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach that started out as a life coach, but I knew that relationships were the source of life. So everyone kept telling me, you got to pick a specialty. You have to have an area of expertise. It's like being a general practitioner. No, you need to be some kind of ologist. Okay, so I knew that after doing the coaching for health and wellness, time management, money management. The continuing repetitive theme was relationships. When people were struggling with different facets and different areas of their lives, it really had to do with the health or unhealth of their relationships, the people in their lives that they genuinely loved and cared about. They wanted to connect with, but couldn't seem to quite get it together. They needed to learn. What I ended up realizing was understanding differences, personality differences, then communication and conflict resolution when they genuinely had the accurate information that they could put to practical use in an immediate and tangible way, they were so happy. I knew that was going to be my specialty as a coach. Relationship coaching to teach people how to connect. Now, the number to the station, if you want to call in, is 888-627-6008. And now we're going to be talking about the differences between men and women, but the inherent dynamics of what that includes. Now, basically, when I said the computer's gender joke, men are very simple creatures. Women are complex. Okay, now that right there could potentially be a source of division, right? A source of contention when we are trying to get together, but we do things in such different ways that affords more opportunity for misunderstanding and potentially the differences of the way that we're doing things. We might not complement each other. We might undermine each other without even realizing it because men have three very basic functions: provide, protect, and procreate. Women, we are about administration and management and executive. We are labor, yes, not as much labor as men, but when we have to manage a situation, that's an entire household. We're talking about time and money, people, the children that we raise, the errands that we run. Yeah, even if we have a job, we still have to make sure that everything going on in our lives is going on smoothly, successfully. We can do that because, unlike men, our brains, we have the same number of synapses. We just have them going from one side of the brain to the other more rapidly and more frequently. So while men can do one task very, very well, the more things that women do, the better we do them all. We become more effective, more accurate, more efficient as we are performing our multitasking duties. So when we think about the difference in our focus and our energy, right? It's okay for a woman to be completely different from a man. But again, as long as there is that reconciliation that creates connection, that provides synapses and synergy, the provisions that we can actually generate and continue to offer each other, that continues to give us the energy to keep working. Life is a lot of work. I don't care if there's only 24 hours in a day, we're working 25 hours a day, even when we're asleep. Women know that there are still things going on around them that they need to get done. And you know what? We're okay doing that. We like doing things because we're good at them. Men are very simple creatures. They really don't need to do a lot of things to be fulfilled and gratified, but a lot of what they want to do is about women. Women are their motivation. Women are the reason why they do a lot of the things that they do, because they do genuinely care. They care about making women happy, providing for them, keeping them safe. And yeah, sex is fun. We have a great sexuality. Now, let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen, men aren't really anything interesting to look at. Yeah, some of them may have a nice face, they may be handsome, but think about a woman's body. What do we have to look at that's interesting, that's beautiful, that's striking, attractive? It's fascinating. Yeah, that's pretty powerful that we have the opportunity to create stimulating sensations, emotional experiences, mental processes that we can trigger inside of a man. Again, that comes with the power. You have to know, ladies, how to wield that power in a healthy and productive way, not in a harmful and destructive way. Do you believe that you are accountable for the way that you treat men? If you know that he is attracted to you, and when he is attracted to you and he has those urges inside, not just to procreate, but to provide and protect, Men really do care emotionally and mentally about women. So when they are with you sexually, that's another thing that the feminists taught me that was completely wrong. They don't just want to come. They actually do want to nurture and provide and support. They care about your emotional constitution. They are very affected by your emotional reactions, and your happiness means everything to them. What does that mean in a practical way? Yeah, it means that abuse is not funny. And it can go both ways. Women can be very abusive to men if they manipulate and take advantage of those things inside of men. Unfortunately, again, for external, political, social reasons, men may behave like pigs, but you know what? They're not. And if a woman tells a man he doesn't have to act like a pig around her, he is so relieved. It's very nice for a man just to be able to say, okay, so you're not going to attack me, and I'm not going to attack you. All right, let's just have a good time together. And you're not going to be offended, and you're not going to be aggressive when you're offended to try to hurt me, to try to prove a point. Okay, so we can just hang out together. Yeah. Think about this. Now, I've been married 30 years, and I'm very, very loyal to my husband, but that trust means that my husband knows that I can have friends who are men, and it doesn't mean I'm going to sleep with them. I tell men who tell me I'm attractive immediately, okay, I appreciate that you think I'm attractive. We're never going to have sex. Do you still want to talk to me? Do you still want to have social interaction with me if you know that our friendship will only go up to a certain point and that's where it stops? You know what? I think in 30 years that I've been married, maybe a total of six men have said to me, no, all I wanted was sex. If you're not going to give me sex, I'm not interested in having anything else with you. So you know what? There's about 500 other men that, for business, like I said, the work that I do in congregations, in social casual situations, have said, wow, that's cool. So you just want to be like a person to me. And I say, yeah. And as long as you understand that my husband is the only one who's ever going to enjoy this, then it will never be an issue. And they say, thank you for being that honest and that respectful to me when you talk to me. You don't have to call me a name and you don't have to question my motives and my intentions when I say or do something nice. Always, what's his ulterior motive? Because you know that I don't have one. As a man, I'm not a bad person. That's really nice. So when we're talking about strength in numbers, okay, we have as women the opportunity to say to men, yeah, we do trust you. We know that you can be good people to us when you want to. So we are going to give you the opportunity to be good people to us. Again, the number to the station, if you have a question or a comment, is 888-627-6008. Okay, so when we think about what we could say to men about what we want, yeah, we want respect, we want appreciation, we want consideration, but we also want trust. That means there's got to be communication there. When we're communicating, how much of what we are conveying in our thoughts, our feelings, conveying accurately to the other person is what we say, the actual words we use, how much is the way we say it? That could be our facial expressions, that could be our body language, even when it comes to just our voice. We have sense stress and modulation, intonation and inflection, volume and pausing. When we say something, we can say it in a nice way or we can say it in a mean way. That's not rocket science. But for people who want to know what all of those different fancy words that I just used mean, I use the two-word question, would you? Those are two very simple words. Would you? WOULD, YOU, would you? Okay, so now I'm going to say it in four different ways. Those two words can convey completely different ideas based entirely on how they are said. there's the question of, I want to know if you would do something. There's, would you? Okay. But how about, would you? That's questioning someone's ability or their intentions. No, you're actually questioning their motivation when you say, would you? That's saying, well, don't you dare question me. I'm going to reverse the tables and question you now personally. That is a personal affront. Then there's, you could say, would you? That's, wow, I'm learning something new about you that I didn't know before. And that could potentially be a very good thing. Okay, they're the exact same words, but they're said in two different ways. Then there's, would you? Which is, I'm afraid to ask, but I'm hoping for the best. Yeah, the way we say words is very important. So when we're texting, we don't get that personal interaction that is more important than the actual words we use. If we have an ability to communicate with someone verbally, it's always better to take advantage of the opportunity to hear the words, hear the voice of the person that we're speaking to. And it's even better if we can see their facial expressions, because that tells you also what they are thinking as they are speaking with you. Now, ignorance, indifference, impotence, and incompetence, when we have the potential to do harm to people, we have to take an inventory of ourselves periodically. And as women, when we say, what kind of quality am I in right now? We like to use the expression of putting the mask on ourselves first. Let me ask you this. When you take time to say to others, I am not going to give to you right now, even if you need me, because I'm going to give to myself. Ask yourself, is what you are giving to yourself significant and high quality and insightful, right? To say that who I am going to be when I am done taking care of myself is going to be so significantly better that when I come back to the person that I just said, I'm taking a step away from you to, that they are going to feel like you have turned from, you know, pound of fertilizer to an ounce of gold. Yeah, that means what you give them will be higher quality and potentially even a better quantity, because when you are in a higher quality state, you can do more things for a more extended period of time, and it's not going to be as exhausting to you because you're healthy. So when we're talking about getting ourselves to a good quality state, that means the synergy that we create with people is going to be exponentially more powerful. Yes, it's absolutely worth the temporary sacrifice. It might be time, it might be money that we have to invest, or that we're asking other people to invest in us. It will definitely be worth it. And always, when you know that they know that you know you're connected, that's what creates the power coming together. We're going to take one last break. Again, if you want to call in, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach and I teach people about synergy, their positive energy. But that comes from confidence and being healthy emotionally and mentally healthy. Yeah, I can coach them through a lot of different personal challenges. I teach them about how to be healthy and happy and successful. But that's the foundation of healthy relationships. I even spoke to a good friend of mine from Europe last week, and he didn't realize that we were talking for almost 4 hours because of all of the different things he was wondering about women. And he actually had a very hard personal problem with a woman that he loved, and he was still struggling with it even after their relationship was over. Yeah, a lot of the things that we do in life are about our relationships, even if they don't directly involve the people that we are relationshiping with, to, for, about. Yeah, they don't have to be directly involved in our activities to still impact the quality of our behavior. If they are consuming our thoughts and feelings, then they might potentially be compromising the quality of work that we do if it's negative. Now, think about this. Unfortunately, some people think that any negativity is bad. No, it's not. There is a purpose, a good, useful purpose that things like anxiety and fear and anger serve. They can be helpful tools because they help us to identify problems. There we go. See, now a lot of people think of cause and effect, cause and effect. No, I go one level deeper. You have to go to the source of the cause that produced the effect. And when we have fear or anger or anxiety in our relationships, that's our body's way of telling us we need to work on something. There is an issue here that we actually have to look at very, very pointedly, very specifically, and we need to understand the dynamics of it, the facets of it, all of the elements of it. That includes the people. That could be issues that that situation created. It could be ones that it triggered that already existed before that situation even came. Look, my son calls me a shrink in denial, but I'll tell you why I'm not a shrink. Because I don't think people are mentally ill. Most of the time, they're just misinformed and confused. When people have accurate information, they are very willing to work together. When they work together, they're willing to commit to each other. They know that they can work together in cooperation. They want to find a solution. They are very determined to put in the time and the effort, the money even, if they know that the person that they're working with is just as committed to creating success as they are. People do have that good volition. They have the energy and the strength. They just need to have accurate information. And when I had clients and my husband said, "Honey, your clients are done. What do you mean? They're not coming anymore." And I said, "No, I help them with their problem." He said, "We're never going to get rich if you keep fixing people." And I said, "Baby, they're not broken. They're just misinformed. And when they tell people about the information that I'm giving them, I'll get referrals. And that's even better because the clients that I have, the people who come to me for help, they genuinely want to be better. They don't want a pissy bitch for an hour and then get drugs. That's what a shrink is for. If you genuinely want to score in the game of life, you have strategy and equipment and strength and endurance. That's what a coach gives you. When you want to succeed, yeah, absolutely. Information, knowledge is power. The question is, do you want to use your power in a healthy or a destructive way? Do you want to make people's lives better or worse? Because there's no neutral energy. You are either making people better or worse when you come together with them. So do a little inventory. When people are done with you, when they walk away from you, are they a higher quality or lower? That's it. It's a very black and white question. And you know what you're doing. You can be very mindful, especially as a woman. We know that when we hurt men, and some women genuinely enjoy hurting men. Other men, you know what? Well, maybe not so much. I kind of like that guy, so I'm going to stop being that way. No, We as women, we need to get high quality and be healthy and helpful to men and women at all times, because people absorb us, they absorb our energy, and they propel what we create. Now, think about this. Can a person truly be a bad person? I actually had a debate with someone in the facility that I'm staying in. I was talking to one lady about how I was treated by another woman, and she said, well, she's not bad. She's not bad. That's just the way she is. And I said, well, what is bad? Bad is just someone who enjoys hurting other people. They know how to make people feel good, and they deliberately do things to make them feel bad. Yeah, you know what? There can they improve? Absolutely, if they want to. So when you know that you can be good for other people, with other people, to other people, take that power and that opportunity. When you have questions, ask. People like it when you're interested in them personally, and they like that you care enough about them to want to know. They appreciate that. And that's what lays the foundation for trust. When people trust you, that brings you to the next level. That's appreciation. That you appreciate means you value people. You genuinely believe that they have value. And so you acknowledge that. And then you have respect. Respect is about dignity and honor. Wow, who respects people anymore? Especially if you go to someone and say, I appreciate who you are and I respect what you do. What do you think that's going to make them feel? And how do you think that's going to make them act? Good conquers evil. Yeah, evil is pretty powerful, but good is more powerful. It's going to do one of two things. It's either going to send the evil person away, or it's going to change them into something good to draw them to you. Do you want good quality people with you? Then you put out that good energy. You give them good treatment. Then they can choose. They can either be good with you or they can go away. You're not going to hurt someone by being good to them. And you're not going to do damage to the world by hoping for the best and being proactive and optimistic, supportive and encouraging. That's what you can do. And you know, it's not about forgive and forget, because you're not going to forget. Our brain won't let us forget. It's about remembering what happened that might have been a bad thing and not having evil feelings inside. There are a lot of people in the world, men and women, that just have evil feelings inside that they haven't let go of. When you work through it with people, it's actually not that hard to let go. You just have to truly want to. And when you're honest with people, you don't have to be mean. You can be honest with respect and consideration for their feelings. You can be kind. And people appreciate that too. When you do know that someone cares enough to be kind to you, they're very likely to treat you the same way. What goes around comes around. Yeah, but also what you are is the source of what you do. So getting all the way down to the source of who you are and what you are, that will be the way to improve what you do. Not with individual acts, but the source of your thoughts and feelings that manifest your acts. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You just be real and be honest with yourself and the people in your life, because that will be the source of your success. Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. If you have any questions that you'd like me to answer on the air that you just can't call in at this time, the email address is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. If you have a question that you'd like to ask me as a professional, my email address is synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. Again, my name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. We'll see you next week.